Welcome to episode 1123 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Genesis 31 marks a pivotal moment in Jacob's life as he finally decides to break free from his father-in-law control and return to the land of his ancestors. After 20 years of toil in Paddan Aram, Jacob realizes his time with Laban has reached its limit. He notices a shift. Laban and his sons are now resentful of Jacob's increasing prosperity. God then speaks directly to Jacob, instructing him to leave and return to the land of his fathers. This divine command signals Jacob is no longer meant to remain under Laban's authority, but must step fully into the covenantal promises given to Abraham and Isaac. Jacob, who once fled from Esau's wrath, now prepares for another dangerous departure, knowing Laban may not allow him to leave easily. Jacob gathers his wives and explains to them how their father has continually deceived him, changing his wages 10 times. Yet, he acknowledges God has protected him and has not allowed Laban to harm him. This reference to divine protection underscores an important theme in Jacob's journey: God's faithfulness, even when human relationships are fraught with deception. Both Rachel and Leah, despite past rivalries, agree their father has treated them as outsiders, selling them as mere property and squandering their inheritance. Their agreement to leave suggests they too recognize their future lies with Jacob rather than with their father. Jacob then secretly gathers his family, servants, and flocks and departs without informing Laban, fearing his father-in-law would prevent them from leaving. Rachel, in an unexpected act, steals Laban's household gods, teraphim. The significance of this theft is widely debated. In the ancient Near East, household gods were associated with inheritance rights, and some scholars suggest Rachel may have stolen them to secure a claim to Laban's property. Others argue she takes them out of personal superstition, or to sever Laban's spiritual influence over their family. Regardless of her motives, this action adds another layer of deception to an already tense situation. 3 days later, Laban learns of Jacob's flight and sets out in pursuit. This dramatic chase emphasizes the power struggle between the two men. When Laban finally catches up with Jacob, the older man confronts the younger, accusing him of deceit and theft. He particularly expresses outrage over the stolen household gods, which he likely views as both a spiritual and legal violation. However, the night before this encounter, God warns Laban in a dream not to harm Jacob or interfere with his departure. This divine intervention once again highlights God's hand in Jacob's journey, ensuring his exit from Laban's household is not thwarted by human schemes. When confronted, Jacob defends his decision, arguing he left secretly because he feared Laban would take his daughters by force. He also denies having stolen the household gods, unaware Rachel has hidden them. Laban searches Jacob's tents, but Rachel hides the idols in her camel's saddle and sits on them, claiming she cannot rise due to her menstrual cycle. Laban, unable to find the stolen gods, is forced to drop the accusation. This scene echoes earlier moments in Jacob's life, where deception plays a role in securing a desired outcome, reinforcing the ongoing theme of cunning and manipulation in his family's history. With the search concluded, Jacob finally unleashes years of pent-up frustration, rebuking Laban for his relentless exploitation and dishonesty. He reminds Laban of his 20 years of labor, 14 years for his 2 wives and 6 years for his flocks, and testifies, "God has seen his hardship and intervened to protect him." This passionate speech marks a turning point for Jacob. No longer a passive servant, he asserts himself as a man under God's divine protection, no longer willing to be mistreated. Realizing he can no longer control Jacob, Laban proposes a covenant. The two men set up a pillar of stones as a witness between them, marking a boundary neither will cross to harm the other. Laban invokes God as a witness, while Jacob swears by the fear of Isaac, a unique phrase that likely refers to the reverence with which Isaac regarded God. This agreement effectively severs Jacob's ties with Laban's household, allowing him to continue his journey toward his homeland unopposed. After the covenant is established, Laban departs, and Jacob is finally free to embrace the future God has ordained for him. The events of Genesis 31 carry deep significance in both biblical and historical contexts. The narrative highlights themes of divine protection, the consequences of deception, and the importance of breaking free from oppressive relationships to walk in God's promises. Jacob's departure mirrors the later exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. Both involve a period of servitude, divine intervention, and an eventual liberation that leads toward the promised land. Additionally, Rachel's theft of the household gods may reflect broader ancient Near Eastern customs regarding inheritance and household leadership. Jewish tradition often interprets this chapter as a moment of Jacob's spiritual growth. The Midrash suggests Jacob's increasing prosperity, despite Laban's attempts to cheat him, demonstrates God's miraculous provision. Some rabbinic sources also view Rachel's theft of the teraphim as an attempt to rid her family of idolatry, though her method remains questionable. Christian commentators frequently draw parallels between Jacob's struggle with Laban and the believer's journey of faith, trusting in God's promises even when circumstances seem uncertain. Key takeaways from Genesis 31 include the following. First, God's faithfulness in opposition. Despite Laban's repeated attempts to exploit Jacob, God ensures that Jacob prospers and eventually escapes. This reassures believers that God remains present even in unjust situations. Second, the dangers of deception. Laban's manipulation, Jacob's secret departure, and Rachel's theft all demonstrate how deceit complicates relationships and creates further conflict. Honesty and trust in God's plan lead to lasting peace. Third, the importance of boundaries. The covenant between Jacob and Laban establishes a clear separation, allowing Jacob to move forward in his divine calling. Setting healthy boundaries in difficult relationships is often necessary for spiritual growth. As Jacob continues his journey home in Genesis 32, he is filled with both anticipation and dread. He has successfully escaped Laban's grasp, but now he must face a far greater challenge: his brother Esau, whom he last saw 20 years ago, vowing to kill him. Though God has assured him of protection, Jacob cannot shake the fear of an unresolved past. Can Esau be trusted? Has he held on to his anger? These questions torment Jacob as he moves closer to the land of Canaan. As Jacob sets out, angels of God appear to him, reminding him that he is not alone. He names the place Mahanaim, meaning two camps, possibly alluding to both his own camp and the heavenly one surrounding him. This divine encounter should give him confidence, yet fear still grips him. Upon learning that Esau is approaching with 400 men, Jacob assumes the worst. His brother is coming for revenge. His response is one of strategic caution. He divides his family and possessions into two groups, hoping that if one is attacked, the other might escape. Jacob then does something crucial. He prays. This prayer, found in Genesis 32, verses 9 to 12, is one of the most heartfelt in Scripture. He acknowledges God's faithfulness to Abraham and Isaac and admits his own unworthiness of divine favor. He laments, "I am not worthy of the least of all the steadfast love and faithfulness that you have shown to your servant." This humility marks a shift in Jacob's character. He no longer relies on deception or cunning, but pleads for God's protection. He reminds God of his promise. But, that is a powerful word. But, yes, I am not worthy. But, he continues, "But you have said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered." This is a prayer of faith mixed with desperation. Still, despite his prayer, Jacob does not abandon his own strategy. He sends lavish gifts ahead to Esau: goats, sheep, camels, cows, and donkeys, each group led by a servant, with a message that calls Esau, "My Lord," and himself, "Your servant Jacob." This act of humility and diplomacy aims to soften Esau's heart before their encounter. Jacob's departure from Laban's household, though fraught with deception and tension, highlights God's protection and the importance of establishing healthy boundaries. The narrative underscores the consequences of manipulation and dishonesty, seen in both Laban's exploitation and Rachel's theft. Yet, God's intervention, preventing Laban from harming Jacob, demonstrates his commitment to fulfilling his promises. The covenant established between them marks a significant shift, allowing Jacob to move forward on his divinely ordained journey. Ultimately, this passage serves as a reminder of God's faithfulness in the face of opposition and the necessity of breaking free from oppressive relationships to embrace one's God-given destiny. Jacob's prayer in Genesis 32 reflects a heart that is shifting from scheming to humble dependence on God. "Father, help us to trust in your promises even when fear and uncertainty cloud our path. Teach us to release control, set healthy boundaries, and walk in faith rather than manipulation or deception." That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.